show here something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
The Self Signal Storm Podcast.
Hello there, welcome my friends, the Salcedo Storm Podcast. Glad you've made it here, made us part of your listening ritual. Podcast world is different, isn't it? It's audio on your schedule, it's audio on demand, and you get to pick and choose, kind of like a menu. We created the Salcedo Storm Podcast like that. Or maybe the border interests me, maybe it doesn't. Maybe the inner workings of government interests me, maybe yummy booze interests me, maybe ghost chasers interest me. We've put up a whole panoply of topics to discuss, even every once in a while, getting into some Star Wars talk, into some sci-fi talk. It is all there available for you on the Salcedo Storm Podcast. Today, we're going to focus on the goings-on in the House of Representatives in the past week, the picking of the speaker. As many of you know, there is a new speaker of the House. His name is Kevin McCarthy from California. We look forward to maybe one day actually hearing from Mr. McCarthy. Hope springs eternal, my friends. But the whole situation that we saw unfold with this whole speaker's debate, it was embarrassing for the Republicans. And I think we've gone out of our way on the Chris Salcedo Show on Newsmax and on KSEV to describe to you why it was embarrassing. It's because the Republican Party... It has no core values. The Republican Party is not united, doesn't have unifying principles, as we have called it. And that was on full display. And what I thought fascinating, though, was the process, which was an open and transparent process. And we were able to see the government at work, or in this case, not working. And that was an education in and of itself. A lot of people were taken aback by the rebels. On our side, I want to investigate Biden. And look, you know what? I got to be honest with you, folks. Every single time the Republicans get into an investigative position, they don't do anything. It's all a game. It's what Paul Ryan did. It was all a game to let the Democrats off the hook for doing what they've done to us. And so I know a lot of people, and I trust Jim Jordan, and I trust, a Congressman Comer. I really do. But what the House leadership will do with the information they find, other than beat up Biden rhetorically. I mean, I think it is time that people went to jail for the usurpation of our rights. I think it's time that people met with consequences for messing around with our rights. That's just me. But the whole process is what I want to focus on. If we can. And I want to play a soundbite from Antonin Scalia, the now deceased Supreme Court Justice. And Antonin Scalia talked about this process that we have here in the United States, the process of our government that leads to gridlock, and why so many Americans should embrace the gridlock from government.
And, the Europeans look at this system and they say, well, it passes one house, it doesn't pass the other house. Sometimes the other house is in the control of a different party. It passes both, and then this president, who has a veto power, vetoes it, and they look at this and they say, it is gridlock. And I hear Americans saying this nowadays, and there's a lot of it going around. They talk about a dysfunctional government because there's disagreement, and the framers would have said yes. That's exactly the way we set it up.
Gridlock. Because no huge swings and departures from the Constitution. The Constitution was always supposed to be the guide of all political parties, whatever their names were. The Whigs, the Tories, the Democrats, the Republicans, didn't matter. Whatever the political parties were, that Constitution was supposed to be the way we ran things. Sadly, the Socialist Democrat Party has been on a mission, a jihad, to undermine our underlying principles in the Constitution since their founding. And the Republicans heretofore had been the ones resisting, although the Republicans not resisting so much anymore, are they?
We wanted this to be power, contradicting power, because the main ill that beset us, as Hamilton said in The Federalist, when he talked about a separate Senate, he said, yes, it seems inconvenient, but inasmuch as the main ill that besets us is an excess of legislation, it won't be so bad. This is 1787. He didn't know what an excess of legislation was.
So that was the laugh line. But so many people up on Capitol Hill say, you know, we've got to show the American people we're doing something. So we've got to pass laws. No, you don't. No, you don't. What you really have to do is pay attention to that Constitution. We must pass laws. Yes, well, if you're not passing laws that are of benefit, that free every single American, make them freer in line with that Constitution, then the bill you're proposing isn't worth doing. Pure and simple. Pure and simple. And folks, the most irresponsible type of governance, bill passing, you could see in this last omnibus. You guys know I've been just railing against this omnibus spending bill. It was loaded full of crap. Crap that could never get three votes if it stood on its own, and they lumped it all into a must-pass bill. That kind of garbage has to stop.
So unless Americans can appreciate that and learn to love the separation of powers, which means learning to love the gridlock, which the framers believed would be the main protection of minorities, the main protection. If a bill is about to pass that really comes down hard on some minority, they think it's terribly unfair, it doesn't take much to throw a monkey wrench into this complex system. So Americans should appreciate that, and they should learn to love the gridlock. It's there for a reason, so that the legislation that gets out will be good legislation.
Good legislation. What's the definition of good legislation? It is. It comports with the Constitution of the United States, and as stated, it promotes freedom and liberty for everyone, not just special interest groups, not just the political party in power's favorites. Everybody. That's what makes it worth doing. Now, the Republicans on the conservative side held out for a better rules package. Because what you guys need to know is that Nancy Pelosi ran that house like a dictatorship. They would take some piece of garbage bill and say, vote on it, up or down. Well, can I make amendments to it? No, you can't. Well, who wrote it? Oh, a bunch of anti-American left-wing lobbyists. A bunch of special interest groups who want to fleece the American taxpayer to pad their own pockets and vote on that bill, up or down. Well, can I make amendments to make it? No, you can't. So that was the dictatorship. It wasn't the people's house. It was the speaker's house. And Kevin McCarthy wasn't going to give up that power until he was forced to by the Freedom Caucus. Because nobody else, none of the other Republicans that were pro-McCarthy, were forcing him to change those rules. None of them were doing that, at least not publicly. So, folks, this is key. The Democrats in the last few years have been unified in all of government. The House of Representatives has refused to be a check on the president's power. The judiciary, by and large, has refused to be a check on left-wing power, even though it's supposed to be a conservative court. The only exception, I would say, is Roe versus Wade, the overturning of Roe versus Wade, because it was bad law. But at any rate, and by the way, when they did that, what did the Democrats do? They raised holy hell. Oh my gosh. They put a check on our power. They used their constitutional power to put a check on us, on our left-wing extremism. Yeah, they did. That's the way the system is supposed to work. The House of Representatives and the Senate are supposed to be a check on the executive branch, but they're not if the political parties happen to be of the same party. And that's not the way our system is supposed to work. It's not supposed to work like that. Dan Bishop says he knows why the Democrats have ruled the way they have ruled.
Has it dawned on you, you wouldn't have gotten any of this had Republicans won 10 or 15 more House seats in November?
It has dawned on me, and I think that's true. I think that's a good moment for introspection. People seem to believe, you know, Hakeem Jeffries in his speech that it was supposed to be introducing Kevin McCarthy, it lasted about an hour. He celebrated the unanimity of the Democrats. President Xi likes unanimity in China as well. That's not the nature of American democracy, in my view. By having an opportunity for a group to raise questions and to make sure that we address them, we actually have advanced the ball. We're not going to be having very elemental disagreements pop up over and over across the course of this Congress because we didn't get the job done ahead of time. We have. Now we're going to work for the American people.
The communists over in China, it's their way of the highway. There's no opposing party. It's just the communists. And that's the way the Democrats have run things. There's no opposing party. There's no opposition to what dear leaders want. In this case, it was Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Beijing Biden. Whatever they agreed on, that's what happened. And no matter if you were, even if you were a Democrat who objected, you couldn't amend these bills. Their left wing couldn't amend. Their centrists couldn't amend. And certainly no Republican was allowed to amend these bills. It's a dictatorial, totalitarian way to run a government. And it sucks. Jim Jordan was on, by the way, that was Dan Bishop on MSNBS with Chuck Todd. Now we go over to Fox where Jim Jordan was getting some pushback saying, hey, you Republicans, didn't you just show that you guys can't govern?
How do you convince Americans who watch this play out, including this moment, it looked like it could turn into a physical altercation, that Republicans, your party, can now govern?
Well, I mean, Shannon, you just heard from the report that Kevin McCarthy got the same number of votes Speaker Pelosi got last time. She had the same majority number, 222, that we have this time. So sometimes democracy is messy, but I would argue that's exactly how the founders intended it. They wanted real debate, real input from all people, and then you get a decision, whether it's one vote or 15 votes. Kevin McCarthy is still Speaker of the House. I've seen all kinds of games go into extra innings and overtime. That's just how it works. What I do know is this. We will come together to deal with how radical the left now has made the Democrat Party.
Yeah, praise God. Let's hope that's true. I trust Jim Jordan, but not the vast majority of the Republican caucus. Nor do I trust the majority of the Republicans in the Senate. Certainly because of that omnibus bill where 18 of those so-called Republicans voted to harm every one of us in this country with reckless, uncontrolled spending, with fully funding the goose-stepping IRS agents, 87,000 of them, fully funding a border but prohibiting money from being used to secure the border, an absolute disgrace. Absolute disgrace. And Republicans did that, made sure the Democrats could pass that bill without making it good. And they didn't. That, folks, if Mitch McConnell had just waited, put a continuing resolution and allowed the House Republicans to come in, that bill would have been a lot stronger for we the people, and maybe not, and certainly not as expensive. So there's all of that. Now look, the rules package that McCarthy had to agree to made him a weaker speaker, which expanded the power of our representatives. And that worries the biased press. The biased press is exceedingly worried that these moderate Republicans won't be able to shut conservatives up. And you saw that worry over at CNN when Jake Tapper was set to interview Chip Roy from Texas.
McCarthy has the title he has always wanted, but not necessarily the power that used to come with it. He eked out a win, but his mandate is less assured. McCarthy required the better part of a week to grind down the conservative opposition to his speaker bid.
That's what Jake Tapper's concerned about. The bid, his speaker bid, and he's got less power and he can't rein in those wascally conservatives.
And the way things have been done in the House for decades. One of the holdouts, Republican Congressman Chip Roy of Texas, was instrumental in delivering him the gavel. Roy negotiated a laundry list of concessions from McCarthy designed to spread power among the House rank and file, and particularly the House Freedom Caucus. And Roy's deal ultimately flipped up to 15 votes for McCarthy, paving the way for his victory Friday night. Joining me now for his first interview after the speaker election is Texas Republican Congressman Chip Roy. First of all, congratulations on everything that happened and getting what you wanted in the negotiations. It's not necessarily a sure thing that happens. We are just learning some of the promises McCarthy made. capping spending at 2022 levels for fiscal year 2024, a subcommittee to investigate the Justice Department, more Freedom Caucus representation on important committees like the Rules Committee, a one-member threshold for a motion to vacate, which is what it used to be before 2019. What other commitments did McCarthy make that you can tell us about?
See, folks, that's another thing. A lot of what the Freedom Caucus was asking for was a restoration and bringing back the House to what it used to be, when it was more representative of we the people instead of a dictatorship, like the Democrats have made it, like Mitch McConnell has made the Republican caucus over in the Senate. Here's Chip Roy.
Well, first of all, let's remember that a little temporary conflict is necessary in this town in order to stop this town from rolling over the American people. I don't think anybody on either side of the aisle could say with a straight face that they think that Washington is doing good work for the American people on a regular basis and isn't broken. We have to work to fix this place. And look, some of the tensions you saw on display when we saw some of the, the interactions there between Mike Rogers and Matt Gaetz, some of that is, we need a little of that. We need a little of this sort of breaking the glass in order to get us to the table, in order to fight for the American people and to change the way this place is dysfunctional. So this all started going back last summer. We wanted rules to open this place up.
We wanted
more transparency.
Yeah, more transparency. They've been trying to do this since last summer. But the only reason why Kevin McCarthy didn't pay attention to them until after the election was because the margin of victory. The margin of victory was so much smaller. McCarthy needed the conservatives. And so that's why, okay, well, what do you guys want? But if it had been the red wave, folks, then Kevin McCarthy wouldn't have needed any of the conservatives. He would have just had the speakership without much hemming and hawing. And one final observation, if I may. Okay, would you think that we would have a different country right now if Congressman Mike Rogers, as you saw him out of Alabama, just going crazy and going after Matt Gaetz, if you saw, these rebels were called terrorists, they were called the Taliban 20, they were called enemies. If you saw the Republican Party with half as much passion at battling Democrats as they showed at battling conservatives, I think we'd have a different country right now, don't you? Coming up next, one of those rebels, Bob Good from Virginia, joins the Salcedo Storm podcast. Don't go anywhere.
And now a word from our sponsor.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Genital mutilation is happening to Texas kids. These abusive medical practices are being pushed by the radical woke leftists in our state. You can go to TexasScorecard.com to learn more and get real news for real Texans.
The process for Speaker of the House was one that was the first bit of transparency that I've seen in my government in at least 2 years and probably before that. And I thoroughly enjoyed the process. And I'm very glad that the establishment Republicans actually needed conservatives to actually get something done so they couldn't ignore us any longer. One of those conservatives, Congressman Bob Good, representing the 5th Congressional District in the Commonwealth of Virginia. He was one of the conservative rebels aiming to make the Speaker's House, once again, the People's House. Congressman, welcome to the Salcedo Storm podcast.
Great to be with you, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Sir, before I get into the nuts and bolts of what happened with the Speaker's race, I just want to get a comment from you. Joe Biden and his photo op down there at the border he ruined, the border that the Democrats who are running this man ruined, and the communities they've ruined. He compared the illegal aliens, 6 million of them streaming into the United States, he compared them to the Jews fleeing Nazi Germany. Your take on and response to that, sir?
Unbelievable that he would say that. And I will just summarize what Joe Biden has done and is doing at the border, not allowing what he's doing at the border. Never in the history of the country has our own president done more to intentionally harm the United States than what he's done in his first 2 years. And time will tell, especially when we eventually seal this border, when we eventually secure this border with him or without him, time will tell the irreparable harm that's already been done if we were to seal it today with the 6 million illegals who've been allowed to invade the country And if you just had 1% of those were harmful individuals intent on bringing destruction to our country, if just 1% of those, we're talking, what, 60,000 individuals? How much harm can 60,000 dangerous individuals, criminals and those with terrorist ties, how much harm can they do now that they're safely within our border, safely from their perspective?
But indeed. And, you know, the grid down power up video, which shows how vulnerable our electric grid is. If you want to kill, according to our government estimates, if you want to kill 90% of America's population, just bring down the power grids. And we have no idea the over a million gotaways that Joe Biden and the Democrat Party has allowed to stream into this country. We are all at risk. And it seems that only a certain number of Republicans give a damn about that. And I want to get into that in due course. But let me just remind the folks that under Nancy Pelosi, the House of Representatives was run like a dictatorship. They would have lobbyists and special interest groups write these laws. They would plop them on the desk and say, vote up or down on it. And then you were not allowed to give amendments and represent your constituents. I thought it was telling that Mr. McCarthy didn't want to give up that power that Nancy Pelosi had wrongly taken, didn't want to give that up voluntarily. Do I have that right?
Yes. While I'm looking forward, glass half full, moving forward together, going to be as supportive as I can be. We've come to a resolution. We fought to change the speaker. We fell short of that. Setting that aside for a moment, the reason why I felt so strongly, in addition to concessions and changes and structural and system and rules, that we needed leadership change, was I wanted a leader who didn't have some obvious trust issues with much of the conference, and who believed in the very changes that we were asking for and that were necessary, and therefore would be a partner in trying to accomplish and effectuate those over these next 2 years. We were not able to get the leadership change, but it is true. None of the changes that have been agreed to would have been accomplished without the courage of my colleagues who stood strong and took personal risk, which is in short supply in Washington. That's how we've gotten the mess that we've gotten. We criticize Congress for being, rightly so, for being, following their selfish interests and self-preservation and ambition and all the wrong motivations. And you saw on display 20 or so members willing for 10 or 11 straight ballots to risk everything politically, any one of which those 20 or so, or excuse me, the 10 or 11 ballots where we had all 20 together could have been the one that took us over the edge and brought more members to join us and resulted in McCarthy pulling out and us considering other candidates. That didn't happen. I'm going to attempt to meet with him this week, pledge my support, judge him going forward. Hopefully we will look back on Friday night, or really Saturday morning, with thankfulness and gratitude for what took place and not with any regret for what might have been, because we did make change. We certainly did make change. A lot of positive was accomplished, but to your point, would not have been accomplished if we had not forced that through with the leverage point that we used.
Congressman Bob Good, our guest right now, he represents the 5th Congressional District in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And that brings me to the emotions that were on display from the Republican establishment. What was the name of the congressman who was lunging at
Mike Rogers, the ranking member from Alabama, who is, yep, is in line to become the chairman. He should not be in leadership in the party as a result of what happened Friday night.
Well, folks, in case you don't know, Mr. Rogers lunged physically at Matt Gaetz as if he was going to attack Matt Gaetz. And you saw a lot of passions from the establishment Republicans. And Mr. Good, this is what I would say to Kevin McCarthy if he ever concedes to come onto my program, that the establishment Republicans seem to be very passionate in their opposition and loathing against we conservatives. If these establishment Republicans showed half the emotion and half of the wherewithal that they showed against conservatives, against the Democrats, this would be a different country today, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. Well said. I've said that many times for the past week. We have seen the same toughness, intensity, resolve that's been directed at conservative Republicans against Democrats for the last 2 years. We would have been having a different conversation, a different dynamic this week. But you're exactly right in your assessment.
And that leads me to the Wretched 18. The Wretched 18 that betrayed, the Wretched 18 Senate Republicans who betrayed each and every one of the Republicans inside of the GOP House caucus by this omnibus bill, and to varying degrees of betrayal, in particular John Cornyn in my state, who signed on to that disgraceful, if we can take the conversation full circle, that disgraceful provision that prevents the spending of money to protect the U.S.-Mexico border, which is destroying the state of Texas. Every single one of those Republicans, the wretched 18, betrayed House Republicans, yet they saved their ire for the 20 conservative rebels. And I'm sorry, sir, as a conservative watching all of this go down, it really revealed a rudderless party that is the Republican Party with no core values. And doesn't that need to change?
It does indeed. It's just reprehensible that Republicans would pass that. It strips away our budgetary spending leverage in the new House majority through September, as you know. It took away so many of our tools to be able to cut the spending, and they refuse to fund the very government tyranny that we campaign against. It's unbelievable that happened. And because the pattern of the previous and now current House leadership on the Republican side had been to vote for those kinds of packages, that's why some of us so vehemently opposed current continuing the status quo and voting for that leadership. And because when the real point of confrontation that's going to come, as you know, we can pass messaging bills out of the House now, and we should do that. And we can initiate investigations, which we must do. And I think you're going to see those happen. Until we get to the debt ceiling crisis, we're not going to really be able to make meaningful change on the budgetary and the spending level. And we've got to be willing to go all the way to force the Senate and the president to agree to meaningful reductions in spending. And it'll be the debt ceiling crisis that will allow us to do that. But those who say you can't shut down the government, you can't hold the country hostage to try to force cuts in spending, and they'll say the full faith and credit of the United States. The full faith and credit of the United States is at risk because we're not doing that. At some point, you know, we are heading towards a default because we can no longer sustain it. And the rising interest rates, of course, are contributing to that. We've got to return to a path of fiscal responsibility. The border that we already touched on and the spending are the two greatest threats right now. And we've got to force the Democrats, because the Republican resolve to do those very things.
Congressman Bob Good, he represents the 5th Congressional District in the Commonwealth of Virginia. He is a conservative, as you can hear. You have my thanks, along with your 19 other colleagues, who, again, gave the American people the first bit of transparency in this government that we've seen in years. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Great to be with you. God bless you. Keep up the fight.
That there is going to do it for this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Visit a couple of websites for me. First off, TexasScorecard.com. TexasScorecard.com. What are we doing here in Texas to push back against John Cornyn and his fully funding the border crisis? What are we going to do about John Cornyn? So make sure you keep on watching the Chris Salcedo Show on Newsmax. Keep on reading the Texas Scorecard and keep on listening to the Salcedo Storm podcast and the Chris Salcedo Show on KSEV, the Chris Salcedo Show on Newsmax. And go to ChrisSalcedo.com. That's the second website I want you to visit, and you can learn how to track us down there. Folks, until we visit again, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, but rather how much power is reserved for you and me, we the people. See ya.